Welcome back to InPod, your home for all things InFlow. I'm Nick Sweeney, I'm your host. Again, as I've said for the last couple of weeks now, it's rollout season. It's October 2020, so that means SOLIDWORKS 2021 is officially out. This week, we're continuing our conversation with a discussion about data management. So this week, we've got a data management roundtable talking about what's new in SOLIDWORKS PDM 2021 and SOLIDWORKS Manage 2021. There's a lot of stuff going on. I figured, why not bring in a couple experts on both sides of it, some guys that know everything there is to know about these tools, and guys that have already been on the podcast, so you've all been introduced to them. From the PDM side, we've got Jeff Sweeney. From the Manage side, we've got Mike King. And then Ryan Daly is kind of in between the two. He's going to be here to talk about both. Obviously, all three of these guys can talk to each other's strengths. But everyone, welcome to the podcast. This is our first ever roundtable. So four people. Let's hope that this one stays civil.
Yeah. We got the professor here. He'll run the show.
What are we doing here?
So let's get this started. And I say let's start off with SOLIDWORKS PDM, because there's a lot of stuff going on with what's new in SOLIDWORKS PDM and a lot of things that we're all excited about, I think. So Jeff, I'll take it over to you first, talking a little bit about our column sets. We have a lot going on with columns inside of SOLIDWORKS PDM. We can now be a little more granular with what we're trying to do and making sure that we're seeing the right content at the right time. What do you see as the big benefit to what SOLIDWORKS has done for us with 2021 and the column sets in particular? What are you most excited about?
I think what's going to be kind of neat for users is now they have the ability to wear different hats a lot easier. And I think that probably the best example of that would be is let's imagine that for a couple hours during the day, you're doing some engineering work. And so when I'm in Windows Explorer, I want to see, you know, material and heat treat and finish and things that are going to help describe those particular parts. But let's imagine in the afternoon, you're working with your engineering change notices. And then certainly then I care about different columns and I want to see different types of things. So as a user, then depending on what you're doing through that day, you can change different column sets and get much more heads up on what you're looking at. I mean, before, we certainly could make different column sets, right? But the problem was always you had to be a particular user. And if you were a purchasing person, well, you had purchasing column sets. And if you were manufacturing, you had manufacturing column sets. And we didn't have any really ability to swap back and forth. I think now that you as a user, you can have multiple column sets and pick which one you want to look at depending on what you're doing for that day. It's going to be pretty neat.
I think I definitely agree with it in the fact that now you can do it via just a right click. So right click and say, show me purchasing, show me manufacturing, show me something else. I mean, it made an appearance in my top 10, being able to change those column sets and having that flexibility. Ryan, Mike, any input from you guys? What do you think about the new column sets?
I was just going to ask, do we get more than the 10 custom ones now? Can we make that expand out like in the where user contains, or is that still limited there?
You know, I'm not sure.
What you're talking about the 10 custom column sets?
Yeah. So at the end of like in the column sets, you can only add like from 10 variables, right?
No.
You have to uncheck the boxes.
I've not seen a limit to that. That may have to check that. But yeah, as far as I know, you can, when you would create a column set, you're allowed. That's a pretty long list.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah. So maybe it's a recent limitation they've removed, but I don't think there's any limitation. Now, gotcha. Certainly, like, you're limited by how wide you want your screen to be. I don't know if it makes sense to have 30 columns because you're not going to see them all, but I can definitely hear that.
Yeah, I think this is pretty slick that you switch back and forth. And basically, like you were saying, so if I was doing something in the mode of, you know, project engineer at this point, and I switch over and think about it from a different set and have a different set of variables I can see that information from, makes life easier.
So, you know what we need, though? In fact, to tell you what, after we say this, we'll pause the podcast so everybody can turn in an enhancement request. What we need now is the ability to have a default column set per which folder you're in. Right. So if I go into my ECNs folder, I want the default swap to this particular column set if I'm a different one. And you could just put that into your folder rights and say the default column set for per column. So if you want, we'll pause here and we won't say anything. I promise we won't say anything. And go ahead and go to the enhancement request and turn that on right now, because that's pretty important, I think.
I'm putting mine in right now. Hold on.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead and do that.
All right. And we're going to pause in 3, 2, 1.
All right. Welcome back, everybody.
Welcome back. Yeah. You've missed nothing. So let's continue down our list a little bit more. Unless, Ryan, do you have any thoughts on columns, or should we keep going?
Right, all columns.
Actually, what I think is super cool is that it's not just for the file structure. You know, you could also do these column sets in the contains, the where used, yeah, and the different interfaces. It's not just limited to the Explorer view column set.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Ryan. that's where I was talking about, like in the where used, right? So mm-hmm. when you have the like the type, the file name, warnings, config, all that, you know, at the end you can add the more, right? You can go and click on those. It used to be you could only have like 10 or 8 or something, but that was when I was wondering if that got removed.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. Yeah, I was talking about the column sets in Windows Explorer, which as far as I know, there's no limit. The contains that were used.
Yeah, I messed that one up. I was more talking about the where used or the contains. Sorry. Yeah, I'm going to blame it on Nick.
Yeah.
Blame it on the
host.
His
show notes are really a mess.
He doesn't know fun. Speaking of stuff that was no fun in the past, when we were dealing with our bill of materials in prior versions of PDM, we didn't really have our cut list information in our computed bill of materials. And that was a headache because if you wanted to send this to an ERP system, if you wanted to take this data and just send it somewhere else, if you needed those computed items in there, the only way you could really do that was kind of take it out of PDM, manipulate it, and then send it off as a CSV file or XML or something like that. But now we actually have our cut list references in our computed bill of materials. It's going to help out so much with weldments and with our sheet metal things and all that stuff that we're already doing. As Will and I kind of talked about last week, it was all to do with making it so that there's less manual work, less manual intervention. I think adding that, it's something that we've needed for a while, and now we finally have it. I think that is maybe my favorite enhancement in all of PDM, and I know that we're only two enhancements in, but I think that this one's my favorite. Does anybody disagree with me?
It's no eyedropper, right? I know how the last three podcasts you've been talking about how great that eyedropper is.
Because it is.
Yeah, but it's amazing that we've gone this long without it, right? Let's imagine that I have a purchase part that I want to weld to my weldment. And so in that case, you would certainly want that purchase part to be part of that weldment's BOM. And you couldn't do that before, right? You had to have it separated out and all kinds of create, like what you said, a lot of manipulation and stuff. Now they finally got the bill of material. I think they finally got the bill of materials right to support those, your cut list and your multiple parts that are going to be very, it's going to be crazy great. People have been asking that since day one.
I can see how that could be useful there. Situation you're mentioning there when purchasing items, right? Breaking this stuff down. So yeah, it makes sense.
Thanks.
Ryan, what do you think? What do you think of our bill of materials? And now we finally have this enhancement that people have wanted for quite a while.
Yeah, I think Jeff is on the right track. We've been hearing about, you know, where's my weldments? Where's my cut list for forever? Mm-hmm. So it's good to finally see that this has got everything that we need to get bill materials useful or more useful inside of PDM.
And speaking of bill materials, we'll kind of toss it over towards the managed side a little bit because there have also been a lot of enhancements going on with our bill materials and with working with multiple bill materials happening inside of managed 2021. Mike, can you kind of talk about what's exciting about the bill material enhancements with managed? Is there anything that's exciting about like the weldment cut list, or is this entirely different stuff?
Actually, I don't know if there was anything about the cut list there. I didn't have anything about the weldment cut list inside of PDM and inside of managed. I didn't see that. There might be something for the cut list, but we do have some pretty cool stuff happening in the bill of materials. We've been limited to being able to only open one window before, right? So if you're working on a bill of material, you had to close that window to go do anything else. Now with this year, they're actually letting you have multiple windows open. So I can open six different bill of materials and copy and paste from different bills into one. So, and then also that adds another feature. We can actually copy and paste from bill of material to bill of material so that you don't have to just go and select and hit add every time. Now we actually have the freedom to go in there and have multiple bills open and say, I want these two parts from this bill, copy and paste it into my new one, and do that type of thing. So pretty big deal there. And kind of what's nice is when we actually are dealing with a bill of material in 2021. Hello? Somebody there?
You want to get that?
No. But in 2021. Yeah, but then also with that cut features of the features, the right click features like cut paste and stuff. If you're in a bill of material and you start cutting things, it changes the color of the items you cut until you hit save. So you can plan everything out, and before you even hit save, it's still showing you what you did. And, you know, it's kind of that sanity check before you hit save and commit to it. You can see what's been done and undo that.
So, Mike, is that kind of like when you're working inside of SolidWorks with PDM and you've got a file that's not the latest version, it highlights it in red. Is it kind of that same idea where it just highlights it and says, hey, there's a discrepancy here until you save it and update it?
I think it's just so it doesn't disappear. Right. So it's so that you can keep track of the changes you made, because you might be dealing with deleting 20, 30 items off of it. And you have that option to back out of it until you hit save.
Ah, OK. So it works a little bit like it's that, like you said, it's that sanity check, but it's also that way of double checking your work. You know, we can undo a lot of stuff, but in this case, you can actually see, hey, are you really sure? It's like that dial-up bots. Are you sure you want to do this? Yes, I am.
Yeah. And the fact we can do it from the right click now. Right. So before we had to go through it through the ribbon in a single window. So you can have the multiple windows and pick and pluck from different bills and you know, copy paste in from right click like we're used to using in the regular Windows environment, right?
Yeah.
And in PDM.
True. And speaking of the ribbon, because there have actually been some nice improvements in the SolidWorks perspective as well. That we were checking it last week and there's some small things about it, but now you can start working with like content view inside of SolidWorks PDM and be able to actually work with that ribbon. It's actually a nice integration, and there have been some movement of icons around too. I think it's a nice little UI trick where now you can actually check out. You don't have to read the button that says check out. Use the same icons that we use inside of SolidWorks. Makes it pretty intuitive, pretty easy, keeping our interface consistent. I don't know. Ryan, Jeff, Mike, thoughts on the fact that we have content view and we can use things like control I, control O. I know a certain person was very excited about control I and control O.
That's life changing. The ability to check files in and out without touching your mouse, going straight to the keyboard. Anytime you give me a keyboard shortcut, I'm going to love it. So that's really pretty. And you're talking about the content. So when we're doing our pre-show, we were talking about that content button.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and we both all had a little bit of a problem with it. Now the content button for me today won't even work. It just goes to whatever's next to it. So I think what it is they've just kind of skipped that option, and all the other, the extra large icons, the small icons, list details. Of course, most people in PDM should be using details, but
I agree.
The content doesn't even seem to do anything, which is okay by me. Nobody used it anyway.
It doesn't break it anymore though, right?
Maybe a good reboot did it or something like that, but it's now just, the content button just doesn't do anything.
Yeah, well,
I'm still stuck on the detail view. I don't know. That detail view is the only thing I think I've ever used as a user was staying in there. But the icons, maybe large icons. What's that?
Maybe large icons.
But the details, being able to see all the variables in the columns, I also have issues with not being able to change my thoughts. So maybe I had to stay with details no matter what.
Yeah. One of the little quality of life things that I really like is that when you're using the forward and back buttons now, it actually kind of remembers where you were. If you're ever like in a gigantic folder and you open a subfolder, like, oh, I got to go back. And then you got to go find that file again. Well, now it finally just remembers what you were on before you hit the next folder or whatnot. So just small little things, you know, a lot of people won't even notice, but it's just one of those nice little enhancements that we got in the Explorer.
And it's
let me add to that one. In your detail mode, when you're looking at the state column, you now get the little icons next to each one of those little guys, which, you know, I can see icons significantly faster than than just the word. So another little tiny thing that you don't really even notice, but once you got it, it's pretty swell.
Speaking of icons, we have a whole lot more of them now with SolidWorks PDM. So they've added, of course, we still get our little piggy bank. We get all of our normal icons that we've already had, but now we get check marks and X's next to some of the icons. And we can really customize that a little bit more than that standard set of maybe a dozen or two dozen icons. Now we have a lot more icons to choose from. I think it's a nice, maybe it's a nice quality of life thing. Maybe it's a nice little user interface, flashy thing. It's easier to read an icon than the word, associate the picture. But, you know, it's kind of nice to have it now.
Well, but the pig didn't go away. We didn't lose the pig.
Pig's still there.
We did not lose the pig.
Still got pig.
Yeah, and just to be clear, we're talking about the workflow icons, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to tell you guys a fun story about the pig. So I was doing an implementation one time, and the group really didn't like their manager. And so they thought it would be funny to use the pig icon for the waiting for manager approval. And so then when we got everybody together doing the end user training, the manager was there, and he said that pig guy, oh, that's so cute. I really love that little pig there for that icon. So all of us kind of look at each other doing our internal little giggles. But so that pig is a fantastic icon. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah. You got it in the truck. The truck and the pig.
That's the deal. So. What we need is to be able to do customized icons.
Yeah. Yeah. Another enhancement. Let's pause again.
Turn that one in because I want to be able to put my face on there more than when I'm sitting waiting for approval.
Or anything. You know, yeah. Just, I mean.
So those icons, right, they're used everywhere. They're not only certainly for you when you're editing the workflows, but they're great to put those on when you're, again, going back to my earlier comment, to see those in the state column when you're in detail mode, and then just change state, right? If you change state, right mouse click change state and see all those icons, that's a lot better. So sometimes when I'm at customer sites, they didn't change the icons and they're all exactly the same. I think you're missing out. It takes you 8 seconds to put a new icon on each one of those. Go ahead and do it. It's really a lot faster.
I do like that they added the icon to the state column when you're in the detail view. That's a nice little feature, that visual cue that you have to just go and be like, oh, there, that's where it's at. I mean, for us, those of us who like those icons, even in, you know, in SolidWorks, when we're looking at the PDM view, right, and you have all the different icons telling you every little piece that's going on with all your kind of status icons. I've always enjoyed those, but now when we have it in the column, in the state column side of the Explorer, I think that'll be pretty slick.
I agree.
Another visual cue.
So speaking of more quality life enhancements, as Will and I discussed last week, and I know that you guys have seen it, SolidWorks devoted a lot of their time to performance enhancements for 2021. I think it was like 58% is what he said. PDM is definitely no exception to that. They said that now, like the add file operations, it can be like 3 times faster. Destroy and delete from a folder is a lot faster with a large number of files. I think that at some point, it's just going to be something that we forget about because it's performance enhancements. They're not really forgettable because we notice them in the moment, but we become very accustomed to them and we kind of adopt them really quickly. And Jeff, you mentioned that one of your early data sets that you've been using for like a decade, you can actually feel that difference, even though it's not an enormous data set at all.
Yeah, when I do my demos, I work with the same set of files over and over again. And don't want to tell anybody at SolidWorks Corp that I'm still using the same demo set from many years ago, but I still am. But since I work with that same and I do the same thing over and over again, I actually do notice now when I'm throwing files into the vault or when things are coming up. The initial check-in is the one I notice first, right? It's only about a 40-part assembly. And that guy pops up right away when I do the check-in versus before, you know, I'd have to come up with one or two sentences to say while filling in time. So, you know, it's probably not enough that you could on my little machine recognize with the stopwatch. But if you work with bigger data sets, there's no doubt in my mind you're going to feel these changes. That check-in dialog box has always angered me how long it takes. And it's really usable now.
Talking about the check-in. I just want to say one thing. Another enhancement request. One that everyone needs to submit as an enhancement request as well. So we'll pause again. Whenever you're typing in the comments, I always hit enter. And all it does is just bring me to that space down. I want enter to be confirm my comments. I don't, because when I'm typing, I'm not going to type multiple lines for my comment. I'll leave it. I'll space it out with period or semicolon if I feel fancy. But I want enter to be confirm the comment, close the dialog box, check it in. That's what I want it to be.
All right, I'll turn that one in. I'll allow it.
Mike, you
I don't
something?
Know about the semicolon. Didn't we have something going on with the semicolon back when we had like Kinexis? That you can have like semicolons in place, it would break things from working. Ugh.
Oh, I never heard that. Yeah, I guess I'm lucky.
Yeah, back in the day. But yeah, actually the performance things, I think this might, I know we said this might not, you know, make it as an, you know, one of the best things on the list, but this, as to users, this might be the biggest thing. When you're using this every day and you're taking little bits of time out of, you know, checking in and just moving around faster in PDM, that might be a huge thing, you know? So, I know as a user, when you get, you're sitting there watching the blue wheel as things are checking in and you're just sitting there waiting, if that goes faster, this might be a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
And the fact that it supports SQL 2019, I know that that was new as of like SP4 of 2020, but I think supporting SQL 2019, I know there's a lot that's happened with just SQL and it's made the connection to the database a lot cleaner and a lot easier. I think that that's going to help as well. Again, even if it's just a background thing, but if it means that I spend 5 less minutes a day waiting on my assemblies to load, it's definitely something I'm going to notice and something that I'll be pretty excited to have as a user.
Hey, oh, don't forget, by the way, that Service Pack 4 is the last version, supposedly, that uses SQL 2014. And so if you need to start looking into your budget, make sure that you have SQL, the higher versions of SQL ready.
I actually did see older that
users are really going to be affected by that.
I actually did see yesterday that 2021 is still supporting 2014 Service Pack 3 on SQL.
Well, that's fantastic then. Okay, so maybe not. But even if you don't, right, there's supposed to be significant performance increases that PDM takes care of with the newer versions of the SQL.
So yeah, and that's the thing that everyone forgets. It's like, why do I have to upgrade SQL? Why do I have to keep doing this? Why isn't 2008 R2 still working?
Oh, man.
It's because of these performance enhancements. We can't get them without the newer technology on the back end. So even though nobody wants to necessarily upgrade or buy newer versions of SQL, it really can pay dividends for your end users if they're getting their work done faster.
So another,
let me jump one in.
I just
found one a couple days ago that's not documented anywhere, and I think it might be because it's an SPR that's been fixed. If you go into the variable section and you go into the unique variables, up until now I'd never been a big fan of that option anyway, but it was terrible if you were putting unique variables in for any drawings, because what it would do is it would, you know, all tabs need to have that variable populated. Well, with drawings, really, you can't. Those initial tabs were for sheets, and it didn't ever make any sense. So if you look now, it's not in any documentation that I've ever found, but I got an SPR saying that they fixed one of my older bugs. Now there actually is an option that you can say that, hey, it's a unique variable except for if it is a SOLIDWORKS drawing, in that case, it will only look at the at tab, none of the sheet tabs. So I'm still not purely in love with the unique variable option, but I think it's now usable. Before it was terrible if you were going to include drawings in that.
And that was fixed in 2021 SP0?
Technically beta 2, I think it was, is where they put it in. So yeah, but Service Pack 0, you should be able to start using it now.
I just
looked at it, it's there.
I love seeing notifications that's like, hey, this SPR is officially a thing. And, you know, I don't even remember when I submitted that.
Yeah, I don't remember turning either, but I got the email telling me that they fixed my bug, but I didn't remember that I saw. I turned in.
I got one from, like, my third week on tech support back in 2015. They just implemented it. It was like a simulation thing that I think it was on the forums, and I was trying to help someone. I realized there was a bug. And they said, hey, we fixed this. Yeah. And I completely forgot about it. They said, here you go. I went, didn't know that was a thing, but okay.
Moral of the story? Turn in your bugs, turn in your enhancement requests. SolidWorks listens.
We've given you 3 so far.
Yeah.
So other things that are pretty nice about PDM, we could have brought this up earlier when we were talking about the build materials and when Mike started going into manage. But with PDM now, beyond just having your cut list items, we actually can start working with our derived parts with our build materials. Those can be included as well. So we can display those top-level derived part references in our assemblies and in our drawings. Again, it's another one of those things that it's something that we've lived without for quite a while now, but we get to get rid of that whole workaround process, which nobody likes doing anyway.
Yeah, and kind of big thing with displaying derived references is in a, you know, a function that's been in SOLIDWORKS for a little while called a 3D interconnect, and I'm trying to remember, was that 2016 that was introduced? Do you guys remember?
That's pretty close.
Yeah. If there's needs correction, just comment in the comments below.
Yeah.
Essentially, you know, 3D interconnect allows you to insert like inventor parts in a SOLIDWORKS assembly or other, you know, CAD formats and have it all together in the same assembly, which is really handy, especially if you work with like legacy information or maybe outside vendor parts, things like that, where maybe you just don't have all SOLIDWORKS parts in an assembly. So 3D interconnect allows you to kind of use those in that assembly. And an issue that kind of popped up originally was like the contains tab wasn't showing correctly. So they had some fixes around that. But with this new enhancement, they actually allows you to see those properly in the bill of material tab. So that way, if you're going to be like exporting out that bill of material to Excel or XML, you know, for use in your ERP system, something like that, you can now also get those derived parts or non-SOLIDWORKS parts that you might be using inside of an assembly using 3D interconnect. So for all those 3D interconnect users out there, you now have the ability to see those items in the bill of material, which is something that's been kind of missing in the last few releases.
Is there a release date on that, right? That is not in Service Pack 0, as far as I understand. That's supposed to be at a later Service Pack this year. Have you guys heard?
There's a handful of these where they didn't quite make it for 0. So hopefully here in Service Pack 1, we'll start seeing a few of these things trickle in.
Yeah, the derived parts we're talking about, right? That's not in 0 that I found.
Yeah, I believe you're right.
Yeah.
I think if I remember right, it's the option is there, but it's grayed out, so we can't actually do it quite yet. But we know that the option will be there. SOLIDWORKS has talked about it, so 2021 should have it here very, very soon.
I just want to add, does Jeff still have an answering machine?
Yeah, but what you don't see is the phone is flashing really brightly when it rings.
I'm not talking to you guys anymore.
So let's keep going down this path of bill of materials. That way we can get Jeff talking to us again. PDM 2021, we can actually do this show, hide, and promote options inside of our SOLIDWORKS bill of materials. So if only promote's being used, then the subassembly shot components are visible in that computer bill of material. Being able to do this, it's more with our bill of material. It's more functionality there. The bill of material, I think, is the most important document maybe that we work with in the engineering world. Because, you know, people, 3D models, it's okay. But having the actual bill in front of you, that's really important. And being able to just add more to it, be more flexible, promote things when you need them, or hide them or show them, I think it's going to give us that flexibility, that power that we've been needing for quite a while. I think 2021, just in general, for the bill of material, has done a really nice job of improving it and making it more usable, especially not just by PDM, but by other systems and for other people.
Well said, Nicholas. Can't add anything more to that. It just more bill material stuff, right? I'm not sure it's the most important document that engineers create, but certainly the ability to do that right when I'm inside of it at SOLIDWORKS, making those changes right there on the fly. I'm not bouncing back and forth between interfaces. It's pretty swell. Yeah.
So then the final thing, and I know that this last bit, it's there's some opinions back and forth on how amazing this is. I love that in the contains and where use tab, we now have a treehouse view available to us. So we can actually see the breakdown of our parts and our assemblies and our subassemblies instead of having to go through an indent view and just see the column sets, which again, columns are nice. We talked about the enhancements with our columns, but I actually really like having the treehouse view to be able to see our parts. And you do see like a little 3D picture of it as well. I like it. I think it's actually a pretty nice enhancement. Of course, if you're using 800 part assemblies, as we kind of tested last week, doesn't work fantastically. But for smaller assemblies, it's a really nice way of graphically seeing it. And I know that Ryan doesn't necessarily agree with that. So Ryan, why aren't you excited about this enhancement?
Well, it's not that I'm not excited. It's very pretty. It's just, you know, this is something that has been in the works for a real long time. Like, I think the first time I saw this was at SolidWorks World back in 2013 in Orlando, I want to say. And I was blown away. I thought it was like the coolest thing, and I couldn't wait to get it. And it certainly took some time for it to come to PDM, but I am glad that it's here. Just, you know, once you get into assemblies that are hundreds or thousands of components, it starts to lose its effectivity. So I'm sure it'll be great for a lot of those customers or users that, you know, have smaller assemblies that have lots of visually appealing parts. It'd be very cool to kind of see that. But I'd be kind of curious, you know, looking at this for like a 5 mile long conveyor assembly. I don't know if Treehouse is going to be useful for them.
It has its place, right? That's yeah. The thing. So if you are doing something large, like I came out of the hydraulics world, so we had, you know, thousands of pieces inside of a pump. If I was trying to look at that in here, I might get overwhelmed. But if you had a few parts, you know, that under that, you know, maybe a 200 or 300 part range or smaller, that might make sense. But I'm just surprised from Orlando that you remembered this. And all I remember from Orlando is that remote control bird. I don't know. That's the only, after that, I lost. That was the coolest thing.
Yeah, I think if you're a new designer, just got put on a project, and you're trying to familiarize yourself with that the assembly structure, you can't beat something like this, be able to see it, right? Because your choices, I don't know if you brought this up too well, Nick, when you first click on either the contains or where used tab, it comes up like what you've always seen it. But like in the top right-hand corner, you do have the ability to swap to see it in the treehouse view. And if it's a smallish assembly, it only takes a couple seconds, it brings it up. By contrast, I had a 1,000 part assembly in, and I switched to it, and it took 71 seconds for Treehouse to build. And then when it finally built up, it was just one tiny little gray line. You couldn't even zoom in on it because it was just so bogged down. So I think if you're careful and work with smaller assembly structures, it's kind of nice.
And this is only for Pro as well, right? We can't get this in standard. It's just a PDM Pro piece.
Just PDM Pro. And so, you know, we got to give the PDM Pro guy some love. And I, like Ryan said, it is pretty clever.
Yeah.
But, you know, after you do it once or twice per assembly, you're probably never going to come back. You're going to just stick with the list view.
I did think that there is something really useful about this whole thing, though. And it's something I hadn't brought up. But when you are in this treehouse view, you can export that treehouse view. So for ECOs or just a general change process, we need to understand our assembly structure and see what it is. We don't have to just export out and say, here's the bill of material of basically what's in it. Because the contains tab, I mean, it does have more stuff in it, but it's basically telling you here's what's part of it. You can actually use that treehouse view, export it out to like a CSV or just an Excel document in general, and attach that to your change order or your change process. I think that's actually a really nice way of graphically seeing these are the parts that are affected, these are the parts that need to change along with it. Just, again, for those engineers that are just kind of learning it, that'll be really useful. But I also think it's nice to include all that information in one spot instead of having to kind of go jump between systems.
Two stars. Yeah,
I'll be super impressed when we could use this interface to build new assemblies. Like, that's once that happens... Well, sold.
Don't forget, you can do that, right, with native Treehouse.
Correct.
Which is pretty cool. I definitely like that. But this is just read-only here. So
we're going to take time again, put in another enhancement request, put that pause button up there again, Nick.
Yeah, flash the pause button.
Yeah, just click the pause button in the upper left corner. Or lower middle. I don't know. Wherever you have it. So as far as PDM goes...
Alexa, pause.
So as far as PDM goes, I think that pretty much wraps us up. A lot of stuff going on in the performance. The performance was probably the biggest one. It's probably where they spent the most time. Again, more than half their time was on it itself. Some nice quality of life stuff going on to really make things easier to digest, easier to find, and easier to sort between. I think there's a lot going on there. So I want to spend a little bit of time, our last few minutes here. Mike, going on in Manage, there's a lot happening. We talked about the build material. But there's more going on with our tasks inside of SolidWorks Manage. So can you kind of talk to us a little bit about things like the auto update project service?
Yeah, so that's going to be part of our project stuff, right? So when we have projects, all the different stages have tasks. You can plug in stages there. That's, we can build those off of templates. We can add them in later. But as this new auto update project service, as you are completing tasks, or you know, basically progressing tasks, maybe not even complete, but as you're basically going through those tasks and checking things off and going through the work, this auto update can actually go to the project then and show the progression of the project stage. So if you have 6 or 7 of your project tasks in that stage done, it can go back and update that stage to be a percentage complete.
Uh-huh.
So,
yeah. Yeah, that's actually super nice, because previously you'd have to, someone had to remember to go in and kind of update the project, sure, for to roll that up. So this kind of a little more of a set it and forget it approach to updating projects when tasks get completed.
And actually, another big piece of that, as part of this, so once we attach documents, so we attach something from PDM to a task, this update project service, this auto updater thing, can actually then take that document and apply it to a project deliverable at that stage and manage. So kind of utilizing some of that automation to make life easier and not miss what we're attaching and updating in the project. And so tasks, before I forget here, these tasks inside of manage, you know, obviously that's like the building block of manage. And inside of a project, normally if we had a bunch of tasks, we had to go and have a dashboard specifically created to keep track of it or run a report. There's now a task dashboard chart type thing inside of the project that's part of the when you create a project, it's part of that wizard. So we can actually have this dashboard that's already built in to keep track of all the tasks, to keep track of their different statuses, all that information you might have seen on a dashboard you had to create and deal with later. That's just part of manage now.
Yeah, because it seems like that's something that everybody wants to see, and this just makes it that much easier to get it into everybody's hands.
Yeah, it's going to make visibility, right? We're going to have the visibility here, and now the one thing I will say that they did with the projects that I was pretty impressed with. I'm excited to see how this works, but in the past, we have separate projects for everything, right? So you might have a project running for an electrical panel. You might have a project running for a structural piece and a mechanical design piece somewhere else that all go into the same project. Before, you had to keep that all under one kind of layout. But now you can basically have multiple projects running in parallel and attach them to a project list. So you could say, like, here's this higher level piece, this higher level list, and it includes 3 or 4 projects. And then you could basically tie them together in a way.
So it's kind of like a way of grouping our projects together in a single list so that we know that they're related to each other.
Yeah, it's what it looks like. It's kind of like that. I could see the functionality there to do that. But you can also say, you know, let's say that you're depending on project A to push forward project B, and project A isn't quite done yet. So we can use this project list to push forward B right from that planning view. So, hey, we need to start 30 days later now. We can update that and we can kind of move those projects around from that planning view.
So speaking of being able to kind of move those projects around, being able to share that data as well is pretty important. So now you can just kind of pick a file and manage, and then you can right click and share it. So you can send an email or copy a link like SharePoint. And that kind of adds, you can add passwords and expiration dates. It's a lot like SharePoint in a sense, isn't it?
I would say it's better than SharePoint. But yeah, so you can actually go in there and through the new settings and the share capabilities, when I click on that file, I get those options. So I can pick a file, right click in manage and say share. And then you have the option to add a password with an expiration. You also have the capability to say package everything together. So if you're picking a top level assembly, it will pull all of the child parts and reference files. So when the outside user, right? So then when they get that link or that email to view the file, they can actually go and click on that and it'll download everything they need for that file.
That's pretty cool that it includes the referenced files so that you don't worry, because, you know, for SOLIDWORKS users, if you don't pack and go something, if you just send someone the assembly file, they're kind of screwed because it's not going to give them much. But yeah. Manage includes that by default. That's a really nice way of doing it, making sure that, I guess in a sense, that is better than SharePoint. Because if I sent you a SOLIDWORKS file via SharePoint, it's not going to do that by default, at least.
Exactly.
Well, anytime you have references, you know, SharePoint's going to fall on its face.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, they've really focused this year on making the collaboration more efficient here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Inside of Manage. The goal is to be able to work more efficiently among these teams and then also include those external users, or those external vendors or suppliers. So they put a lot of emphasis on that. I'm happy to see that because, you know, as we're especially in this environment right now where we're dealing with a lot of people outside the company, outside the company walls, this just makes life easier.
Trying times.
Yeah. And another way they did that was the Web2 integration.
Oh, definitely.
So now we can actually, you know, manage users go in, they can click on a file and view that file from Web2 and eDrawings and everything else. So it's not just limited to you have to log into PDM. We could do it through Manage now as well.
That's pretty cool. Making sure that, you know, especially with what's going on now in the world, and a lot of us are working remotely, some of us for the first time are working remotely. It's nice what they've done to improve not only the performance of a tool like PDM to make it so you can load your assemblies faster, even if you're remote, but also things like Manage and being able to quickly share your files, and you can share it with people that maybe they don't have the same level of Manage, or maybe they're just not on the thick client and they need to via Web2. It's a nice way of kind of tying everything together with the year that is 2020 and getting ready for the 2021 release. I like what they've done with it. I think they've done a really nice job. All right. I think that covers everything that we had on our list for Manage and for PDM. Any final thoughts from our panel?
Do it. I mean, some of the nice thing, remember, you can always upgrade PDM without upgrading your SOLIDWORKS. So if you guys aren't ready yet to take your SOLIDWORKS to 2021, as long as you're on SOLIDWORKS 2019, you can take advantage of some of the things we've been talking about today.
Well, for PDM Professional, at least.
Upgrade together. But yeah, I'm sorry. You're right. PDM Professional, anyway. PDM Standard, you're going to stick together and you're going to like it. But there are opportunities for you guys to take advantage of some of the SOLIDWORKS stuff right now, and you don't have to worry about compatibility with somebody's older version of SOLIDWORKS.
Yeah, I upgraded my PDM a week and a half ago. So I'm on PDM 2021. I'm still on SOLIDWORKS. I think I'm on SOLIDWORKS 2019. It's nice. I'm a fan of it. There's a lot of really cool things. Again, I like the treehouse, and I upgraded probably 70% because I wanted to check that out because I knew about it for a while. There's a lot of cool stuff. I'm pretty excited about it. I think our customers are going to really enjoy these enhancements. From the Manage side, the PDM side, I know that Manage is always innovating. There's always going to be new stuff. PDM throughout the year as well with our service packs. There's always new stuff happening. And of course, don't forget, SOLIDWORKS is always listening. So send in your performance enhancements, send in your requests for what you want it to do. Saying they're always listening is a little bit creepy. But they're always waiting to hear back from us, and they want our
feedback.
They're
here for us. Yeah.
I just went and unplugged my Google Home menu when you said that. I'm like, someone's listening to me. I don't like this. I get what you're saying. I like that. I like, too, that when, you know, we've heard some of these things asked for in the past, and now they're showing up even inside of Manage, and I think that's pretty awesome with the that we're listening to the users, that their input with these enhancements requests that we've given you five opportunities now to make, that they're listening to those. Wow. and adding that stuff in here,
it's definitely exciting.
Yep.
All right, everyone, well, I think I've taken up enough of our time. We're something like 45 minutes in, so I'm gonna wrap us up here. Thank you, Jeff, Mike, Ryan, for joining me. This was a lot of fun talking about what's new in just general data management. There's a lot happening, and this is 2021's new release, and I'm excited for what they do throughout the year, and of course for next year, 22. I'm sure they've already started on it. So InPod listeners, thank you so much for joining us this week. I hope you enjoyed our conversation. Tune in next week. We're going to be talking to, I haven't decided yet, actually. It's either going to be a discussion about simulation, what's new in 2021, or we'll talk to Greg Osterman over in manufacturing. It'll be one of those two. Tune in next week. I guess you'll just have to find out. See everyone.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.